Welcome to another edition of After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud, available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Pandora, or Apple Podcast. And as always, you can head on over to the website, AmericaOutLoud.com, and check out the articles and podcasts. And we ask you to please share those on social media. It helps us out a great deal. Your share can lead to so many other shares and just keep spreading the message. We have a big show tonight with a couple great Latinos for Trump. David Hernandez and Jesse, who's the founder of Lexit, is going to be joining us to talk about what they have going on and a little bit about their backstories. We're really looking forward to hearing from them. We've seen a lot going on recently in our country with the border wall and the border crisis. Kamala Harris recently visited El Paso, as you know, Rob, as we had on Irene Jackson, who is running for Congress in that district. And she told us all about Kamala Harris's visit. I'm really excited for the show tonight to talk to these guys and find out what's really going on in the border, what's going on in California, where they're located. How about you, Rob?
Andrew, you know, I'm excited about tonight because we have had a wide range of individuals on our show, After Dark with Rob and Andrew. And I'm really happy about the progress that we have been making with the show, because I think that we are getting a cross-section as to who America is, who we are, who we stand for, and the people that support the Republican Party. Because if you listen to the mainstream media, they would have you to believe that the Republican Party is full of nothing but white old men. And that's just not true. Not that there's anything wrong with being white or being an old man, but the party is a huge tent for everyone. And we need to recognize that. Now, oftentimes I have said, as well as some of our guests that have come on here, is that the GOP, the Republican Party, does not do a good job reflecting the diversity within the party. I think that at times they shy away from it because they're just not comfortable talking about race. Who's comfortable talking about race? Well, I'll tell you who's comfortable talking about it. It's the Democrat Party. And they talk about it because they use it as a wedge. They use it as a political weapon, ammunition, to silence anyone that disagrees with them. Not only do they use race, they also use gender politics. They use everything that you can name, anything that is an identifying factor, they will use it to silence anyone that they feel is against them. At times, they'll use it against their own. But that's when they think that their own isn't working with them. Look at how they're doing Senator Manchin, Kirsten, the lady from Arizona. I mean, they're just attacking them simply because they don't agree with what they want them to do as far as the filibuster and voting rights. Okay, so they're going to attack them and say, oh, well, they're racist. Look at the voting rights bill that they want to change. If you're not for it, oh, you're for Jim Crow laws. And they put this out there in the population and they keep churning it over and over again, and slowly people start to believe it. I have friends who have come here and became citizens from other countries like India and Sri Lanka, and they have fallen for that same BS that, oh, they're the oppressed people and you're doing them this way, and don't you see that you're being oppressed? I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm like, you just got here yesterday and you're trying to tell me that I'm oppressed? Or they're saying that because that's what they have heard. And it's like a steady stream of lies, a narrative that makes no sense. You turn on your TV, you look at the newspaper or online, and that's all you hear, the narrative that Republicans are racist. Everything is racist. When does it stop? And I would venture to say within the next 5 years or decade, no one's going to believe in racism, which is a good thing. Because the Democrats have taken that word and they have just like blown it up and calling everything racism. They were even saying the other day that the birds were racist. Are you serious? This is how nutty things have become. But yet and still, this is America and 2021. So I'm glad that we've been able to bring an entire different cross-section of individuals on our show. Not that we believe in identity politics, but I think that it's always good to show or reflect who the party is and what we're all about. As I said, it is a huge tent and everyone is welcome to come into the party. Our guest today, David Hernandez and Jesse, glad to have them on. So let's just bring them on and let them tell us about themselves and what their thoughts are on things that are taking place today. David, Jesse, how are you, gentlemen?
How are you doing? How are you guys doing?
Good. I'm doing well. Thank you.
Give us a little about your background, David.
Well, first of all, thank you for giving me this opportunity. When I introduce myself, I say I'm David Hernandez from the land of Lincoln, and that's Lincoln Heights, which is a little community just east of downtown Los Angeles. And on my birth certificate, you know, my father's occupation is listed as a banana cutter because his stepfather worked over at the produce mart downtown. And he worked with him there at the produce mart. But at night, he went to school, and he also got a job as a clerk at an insurance company. Now, I was born in 1948, so this was a bit before that. But when he retired, he was vice president of that insurance company, and that was a national insurance company. Now, that says less about my father than it does about the United States of America and the opportunity that everyone has if they choose to take it. Unfortunately, the institutionalized victimization that we have seen transpire over the past many decades has actually paralyzed and prevented people from participating in that American dream. The left has been very, very patient, consistent, methodical. And as you said, you keep repeating something over and over and over, and pretty soon people start to fall for it. They believe it, and then they use it as an excuse. So I'm 72 years old. I'm a Vietnam veteran. I grew up in the San Fernando Valley, was married, have three kids, worked in business, never got involved in politics. I always thought that was for somebody else. And one day in 2002, my 94-year-old neighbor asked me, how come there's never a Republican to vote for Congress? And I had no idea. So I started asking around, and they said, because you can't win. And I thought, as a business person, not to give your competition some competition does not make good business sense. So I went down to the LA County Register Recorder's office and asked, what do you have to do to run for Congress? Do you have to have a political science degree? Do you have to belong to a certain class? Do you have to get somebody's permission? And the answer was no to all three. It was just a sheet of paper to fill out over at the desk, and you enter the process. That is the second time that I got to see how fortunate I was to be a citizen of the United States of America, that I could enter into the political arena and make a difference. So that was 2002. I've run for office a number of times, the last one being for Lieutenant Governor of California in 2018. And the benefit of all of those experiences, especially in 2018, when I would drive up and down the state of California, up in the little farm towns and ranch towns along Highway 5 or Interstate 5 or Highway 99, where they're predominantly the Republicans that I would go to were predominantly not people of color, but they were the most encouraging and supportive individuals that I had ever met in the state of California. So when people start speaking about how white Republicans are racist or they're intolerant, you know, my personal experience up and down the state of California has proven that not to be true. And so I'm really fortunate, and meeting my friend Jesse Holguin was just one of those relationships that have been developed by getting involved in the political process that is open to everyone.
Jesse, I hear you have a very interesting story in doing some of my research for the show. You want to tell the listeners a little bit about your background and how you've gotten to where you are now, the head of the Lexit movement.
My story is I was a former ex-gang member, and I was raised a lifelong Democrat. I never really knew why, like, I was growing up, because my grandparents especially were heavy into politics, and they're hardcore Democrats. So when I was growing up as a Latino, so in California, They said we're Democrats. When I was running, I was like, why are we Democrats? And they said, because the Republicans are for like the rich whites and the Democrats are for the minorities, basically like that. So I grew up like, okay, thinking, all right, I'm a Democrat. So automatically, that's the way it is for a lot of Latinos. We just, and Blacks, we grew up automatically like that. So I was like that. And then, like I said, I was an ex-gang member. I did years in prison. And I got out and I got shot and paralyzed. And it's like some long story, but when I got shot and paralyzed, the bullet went through my lung and I was choking on my own blood. They had to airlift me because I was dying. And the cops and the ambulance, they were like, he's not going to make it. His only chance to call for the chopper. And basically, as I was flying in the chopper, I started dying and I just started calling out to Jesus. And, and once I did that, I thought wonderful peace came over me. I was just so at peaceful and so comforted. And from that day, like on, the Lord has just been using my life for so many things. Like I always tell everybody that knows me that I was supposed to die that day, but God left me for a reason. So I ended up going to juvenile halls and prisons, speaking at different churches, and speaking to a lot of my ex-gang member friends and sharing the gospel. I was mostly getting used for the Lord like that. And then I ended up starting being a chaplain at a hospital. And I was doing that until the Lord prompted me to start Lexit and get into all that. And then how that came about was, I guess you could say like the fake media and all of that prompted me to start Lexit. Like I could not, they made me get involved because I was just sick of the lies and just the attacks, the constantly propaganda against Trump. And I wasn't really too big on Trump at the beginning. I didn't really know too much about him. I just knew he was better than Crooked Hillary. So I was more of Cruz. I was rooting for Cruz. So I didn't really have too much expectations for Trump. And then, but I was just seeing the constant 24/7 CNN and all of just bashing Trump every day. It was just like, made me sickening. So I was really frustrated like that. And then I seen Candace jumped off with the Blexit. So then I was like, you know what? Because a lot of Latinos that I know were conservatives. And a lot of Latinos I know that we were supporting Trump. And the narrative that the left and all of them were always pushing was that the Latinos hate Trump and all that, you know, all the same drama that they always say. So I was like, what? Amongst me and all the Latinos that I know, that ain't true. We support Trump and all that. So that's what made me start off Lexit. And then ever since then, like the Lord just, I feel it was the Lord and just started blessing us. And we just started blowing up, just taking off. And I think the reason is because at Lexit, we put God first above all things. Like we're not a religious organization, but I'm Christian. I represent the gospel. I'm not going to be ashamed of the gospel. So you don't have to be Christian to follow Lexit or support Lexit, but we are, and we're not going to be ashamed of it. And we say it boldly. So I feel that's why God has been blessing us and using us. Like I said, it was a blessing. Like I was invited to the White House 6 times. I've been all over the country. Like we're national. Like it's not, we're just not like one state, one city or whatever. Like we have team members and it's not just me too. Lexit isn't just me. I don't even want to get it twisted. I have a great team of influencers and we all push good content and we're just trying to save America from the left, from socialism, because most Latinos are either Catholic or Christian. Most, even minorities in general, Blacks and Latinos, have a love for God, but for some reason they haven't been voting on those issues. So that's what one of the main things we stress at Lexington. We tell them, vote your godly moral values. So that's what we're trying to do, try to wake up Latinos.
You know, both of you have interesting stories, different backgrounds, but going to this in the same direction with the same values. And I've heard this time after time after time from the Latinos and Blacks that have come on the show, how they were told that you're Democrat because the family has been Democrat. However, when you look at the values of the family, the values are not the values of the Democrat Party. Their values are values of the Conservative Party. They have the Conservative Party values. God, family, love of country, work ethics, anti-abortion, all those values. And it's just the opposite of what the left keeps pushing. The very opposite of what they're pushing. So it begs a question again, as I said earlier on, why isn't the GOP Republicans doing a better job and putting out the party platform? There are too many Blacks and Latinos that would follow along and say, no, these are my values. As you said, Jesse, vote your conscience, vote your beliefs. If they did a better job putting it out there, I think that is tremendous. And then Jesse, you, like you said, you were involved in gangs. You got shot and then your life changed. I mean, that is a testimony that people need to hear. When we hear about the M13 that's coming here and people can't turn their lives around, they don't know how to turn their lives around, you turn your life around. It's unfortunate what you went through, you became paralyzed, but it's never too late. Redemption is always near. That is a testimony for so many young people that are out there that feel that they can't turn their life around. You are a living witness. Look at what has happened to you since then. You've gone to different states, representing and talking to people. And you also said, as far as Trump, you weren't gung-ho for Trump, but the ideas, the principles. David, you're the same thing. The ideas and the principle. Why aren't more of them listening? Or is it the fault of the GOP? David, you go first.
Well, I think they are listening. And, you know, quite frankly, I mean, we just look over the past 4 years, the conservative Hispanic vote has jumped from 16% to 27%. And it is happening, especially, you know, here in California, where the shutdown impacted Hispanics a lot more than in a lot of other states that were a little bit more open. Because you look at, you know, Jesse talked about, people of faith, and all of a sudden the churches are shut down. You have pastors that are being cited and fined hundreds of dollars a day. You have the ability to go to work. You know, most of Hispanics, you know, they're not out there telecommuting to work, you know, because, well, you know, what I say is the language of the Hispanic community is not Spanish. It's hard work. It's out there, you know, earning their money, you know, the old fashioned way, the hard way. And so all of a sudden you shut down all these opportunities to earn a living and provide for your family. You can't go to church. You can't be consoled. And all of a sudden, you know, here in Los Angeles, LAUSD is about 90% of the children in these failing schools are Hispanic, which comes to probably around 650,000 kids who cannot go to school and who are suffering at home, not being able to socialize. So when you look at those three things, which are really the bedrock of the Latino community, faith, family, and free enterprise, and you take that away, all of a sudden, you know, circumstances are alerting people that, wait a minute, the Democratic Party, especially in California, where you have a complete total domination by the Democrat Party from governor to city council to supervisor to assembly and Senate, Republicans in California have been irrelevant. The only purpose Republicans serve in California is to be scapegoats for failed Democrat policies. And now we're looking around and say, well, who's been in charge? And people are saying it's those people that they've traditionally voted for because they thought they represented them. And in many cases, it's Democrats who have brown skin and speak Spanish perfectly and continually blame the white people for all the challenges in the districts that they've been in charge of for the past 20 years. So I'm not waiting for the Republican Party to get the message out. It shows like this. It's movements like Jesse's and others that the message is already getting out. The ship has already left the dock, and there's no turning back.
David was right on the money. I agree with David. And for one, even just looking at me, You could tell, well, like David said, the numbers. Yeah, the numbers, what Latinos, it went up huge for Trump. Imagine, and not only that, Trump was actually a hard sell for us, for the Latino community, because the left had already ingrained in the lie so deep where that Trump don't like Latinos. He called them rapists. And like you, that was like one of the main, it was hard. Like you said, it was a hard sell. And still Trump went up. The numbers of Latinos were huge. And that's not even, not like that's, there was even so many in my own personal life that I used to know so many Latinos that I used to get in debates, heated debates with and all that, that now they're with Lexit, or now they're on the Trump train, or like now that they used to be hardcore Democrats. So many, like I've seen it, and even in the comments and just everything that we do, it's like night and day that you could see the Latinos in the end. Yeah, like it is very disappointing that we've been calling it out lately, Lexit, that we're disappointed in the GOP, and like we don't know what they're doing to us. It seems like having Kobe Bryant and you're leaving him on the bench, like they see all the momentum with the Latinos, all that, you think they would be all over it, and like they don't help us at all. Like David said, like we're done, because we were waiting, like when I first started next to where they're like, oh yeah, we'll help you, and they never did not one thing helping us. So we're like, you know what, screw it, we're just doing our own thing, we're not going to wait, and all them, and like us, David, and the other organizations, we're just doing our own thing. But it's just like, what are you guys doing? You guys see us right here. You think that they would be trying to help us, even like whatever, like it just, it's very disappointing. And then like, even me, my example, ex gang member from LA, whatever, supporting the Republicans, and never in history would you have seen that before, like that, the kind of people, like even on my team, you see my team, a lot of my teammates have tattoos or whatever, they're just regular Latinos that you would have, even blacks, you would never see those in the past be going for Republicans, but they're just so mad at the left, and just always like they have a golden opportunity, the GOP, and it's like I'm saying, I went on lives with other big influencers, some of the biggest and all that, we're all scratching our heads. We don't really know what the hell they're doing. Like we're like, what are you guys doing? You're not how like any left wing cause or movement or group, whatever, they're all fully funded, millions of dollars, all this and that, even celebrities, not like everything. Us, we don't get a dime or anything. They don't help us in any way. Like you should be trying to build us up. We're doing the hard night, and we're in the trenches. Like Alexa, we're not preaching to the choir. Like we don't just talk to other, we're trying to get Latinos that aren't Republicans, that aren't like that. We're trying, that's who we're trying to reach into, like a untapped that the Republicans never did. And we don't understand is why ain't they helping us? They should be all on hands on deck. Like I said, even I could see if we didn't go up at all. Like if they said, oh, it's a lost cause for the Latinos because it's not moving the needle at all. But you see that, and they didn't even help us at all. Just me, Lex, all day, all of us are just doing it our own, ourselves. And you see how much the numbers, boom, went up. Imagine if they were helping us, backing us, giving, helping the money, just in always bumping us up, everything. It will be like sky's the limit, but they're not. That's why they're very, like me and Lexi, like we're very angry, you could say. But not only that, we were angry because of how the rhinos, now they threw Trump under the bus, stabbed Trump in the back. So a lot of us are kind of not too happy right now with the GOP. That's like right now, I say I'm more conservative than a Republican. I say I'm not a Republican or a Democrat. I'm a Biblican. I vote the Bible, you know what I'm saying? But I'm more conservative. But we're just hoping, man. Hopefully Trump will come back, or hopefully they wake up, because it's just really frustrating to all. You don't even know. I talk to all the biggest influencers, everybody. We're all like, what are they doing? A bunch of us are calling them out, like, you know, on social media. Like, what are they doing? They're just silent. They're not doing anything at all. It just makes us sick. And then like, I hope they don't, because we'll be pissed off. Another thing that lit a fire under us is Jenner. It seemed like if they were kind of like trying to promote Jenner over here in Cali, and I say, we won't. Latinos will not support Jenner. We don't care. And evangelicals, Christians, we will not do that. Like, you know what I mean? So to us, it's like a grenade, throwing a grenade into the Republican Party. It's going to destroy, like, all the Latinos are going to get pissed. All the Christians are going to be, for what? What is it? There's what, 1% of California or whatever? Then maybe what? You might get half of that 1%. So you're going to piss off all the gangs that you did with Latinos, and you're going to piss off your biggest base, the Christians, for like, let for 1%. And just like, they're, what they're thinking is like mind boggling. They're always trying to compromise or whatever with the left. They need to just stand bold like Trump. That's why we all love Trump, is like him, DeSantis. Ones that are bold, strong like that, that's what we thought. You think that they would, but they're not. So it's just very frustrating to me.
Yeah, Jesse, are young Latinos waking up? We often see that young people, they're so indoctrinated with this communism and socialism and all this stuff that we see in the schools, the critical race theory now. What the Lexit movement, what is the age range from a lot of the people that you see participate? Is it a lot of younger Latinos that are waking up and realizing the conservative values?
It's all ages. It's all ages. Like it is harder, though. That is true with the youth. That is because they're so indoctrinated at the schools and the colleges, and then just even like the rap music and the celebrities. That's who they look to. They look to like LeBron James, or they'll listen to that and over their pasture or whatever like that. So with the youth, it is kind of hard. But like us and Turning Point, because I was just at Turning Point Young Latino Leadership Summit. Charlie had me speaking, me, Ted Cruz, Anna Paulina, we were all over there speaking. And they were like, there was so many Latinos right there, and they were loving us. So it's worth all ages, but we're trying, and we're going to start trying to hit that even harder, because we know that's where it is. But like the youth is hard, but like when we're on Lexi, when we're doing lives and all that, I've been getting on the parents more, because I'm like, it's the parents' fault. Like, because a lot of them, they're not paying attention. Their kids, they're just letting the kids go out to school, and they're not even paying attention to what their kids are learning or doing or whatever, and they're going getting indoctrinated. They need to, the conservatives need to teach their kids, this is what we believe in, all that. If the teacher starts pushing something other than what this, no, don't go for it. We're against that. Like, be leaders, not followers. That's why even all conservatives, you should be telling your kids, your grandkids, nieces, or whatever, you guys should be telling them, hey, if they're teaching you this and this and that in school, no. Or like my kids, if my kids go to school, I'll tell them, if they try to teach you whatever, this, whatever, you tell a teacher, no, my parents said no, we're against that, we don't believe that. Have your teacher call me, and I'll tell them, no, my child is not to do that. You know what I'm saying? But a lot of parents, like I said, they're not there. So that's why, so lately we've been doing like that, telling parents, it's there, because they're just, like I said, sending their kids, and they're just getting indoctrinated. Most, even Christians, not even politics, a lot of Christians are sending their kids, they raise all their whole lives Christian, they go to college, and they come back liberals. It's happening so much because they're getting indoctrinated. That's why you have to prepare your kids. And well, it would be best if they could even homeschool, but if you can in this way, then let your kids know. Let them know everything, what you believe in, what's going on, what they're doing, so they could be aware. And then that's what they need to fight. But yeah, we need to.
That's the best. That's the best thing you can do, is make your kids aware. We are here with Jesse Hooligan, who is the founder of Lexit and former Lieutenant Governor of California candidate and former Mayor of LA candidate David Hernandez. And you are tuned into After Dark with Rob and Andrew, available on America Out Loud via iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or download the America Out Loud app to keep track of all the great shows. We will be back with more on After Dark with Rob and Andrew.
Hello, this is Lieutenant Randy Sutton, the host of Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement. I am a 34-year police veteran. I am also the founder and CEO of an organization that stands behind injured and disabled law enforcement officers. It is called The Wounded Blue. Our website is thewoundedblue.org. We have produced a film. It is an important film. I urge you to watch it. The film details what happens when a police officer or law enforcement officer is shot or stabbed or beaten or disabled, seriously injured in the line of duty. Most people think they are taken care of medically and financially. The reality may be quite different. It is called The Wounded Blue, Service, Sacrifice, Betrayed. The film is available on Amazon, iTunes, and the Microsoft Store.
Today, America stands at the crossroads of history. Our actions will determine the fate of our nation. Well, that journey starts here and starts now. We invite you to join us in making the ultimate difference. Subscribe to our podcast and newsletters. Turn notifications on and stay in the know. You'll find all that back at AmericaOutloud.com. Liberty and justice for all.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
And we're back with After Dark with Rob and Andrew. And we have on with us tonight two gentlemen that during the first segment, they really opened up and they just told it the way it is as far as the GOP supporting the Latino community and getting them to come out and vote conservative. And from what I'm understanding, they're not waiting. They know what needs to be done and they're going to go after it. And I think that many of us have got to do the same thing, especially in the Black community. I know that they have Blexit and they're doing their own thing, but we can no longer wait. Hopefully the GOP will catch up. And if they don't, we will continue to lose these elections. It's something that Jesse said that really resonated with me. And I think a lot of people are feeling the same way, is that I'm not going to consider myself a Republican. I'm going to consider myself a conservative. Those are the ideas. The Republican Party has got to wake up. Now, as David said, we're not going to wait for you, because we're going to do our own thing. We're going to galvanize our people, and we're going to say, this is a party platform. These are the things that we believe. But at the same time, the party can't sit there on the sidelines being afraid to go and talk to these different communities, going out and reach out to those votes. That's what the Democrats are hoping will happen. They're hoping that you won't come out and you will go and talk to them. They're hoping that you'll be afraid and not reach out. You can't be afraid. You know what your party platform is. Go out there and present it. And when you find yourself talking, you will see that other people have those same ideas and they're waking up and they're saying, hey, I know that you're not racist. I know that you're not prejudiced. I know that there's a huge tent and that we all can fit inside. But you've got to start somewhere. And as some of the other guests that have come on the show from the Latino community, Latinos from Trump, and have said time after time after time, you guys have the values. We believe in the value system. We believe in the party platforms. But you got to come talk to us. And when you come talk to us, please send someone that looks like us. They're there. You want folks to see that, hey, here I am. I have those ideas. And as Jesse said, I keep going back to that because I think his story is so powerful. He was a member of a gang. He's now going out talking to other gang members and saying, it's not too late. You can turn your life around. Look at me. Give your life to Christ. Redemption is always there. I am a Christian. I am not afraid of my beliefs. Many of us are afraid, but he's not afraid. So going out there and telling it and saying it and living by those values, those are the things that we have got to do. And as David said, when he started looking at who can run for these offices, what do I need, what qualifications? And all it took was just completing a piece of paper. See, those are powerful things that we can do ourselves, getting involved. And we need more people to get involved. The Democrats are hoping that you won't do it because they want to represent you. They want to tell you what you can do and what you can't do. But we have to keep trying. And I would say to David, keep trying, keep going at it. Get someone else to do it. But when they do it, come on, GOP, get behind them. I don't care if it's a blue state. I don't care if it is a blue city, a blue town, or a blue village or hamlet. You have to start somewhere. And if you keep running these candidates over and over again, they get momentum and people start seeing them and they start hearing them. And then they say, hey, this is a person I want to talk to. This is a person that I'm identifying with. But we've got to support these individuals and encourage them. You can do it. Let's keep going. And let's stop looking at the rhinos. Let's stop looking at the people that really are only doing it for name, just for name recognition. And that's it. We've got to wake up because our country, we will lose our country. And as one of our guests said before, you look at Venezuela and you look at the socialism that destroyed that once rich country. The country is still rich. But look at what the people are going through. And why? Because people were arrogant and they felt that, no, it's not for me. It won't touch me. I'm so far removed from that. And then one day you wake up and you see that all the garbage that they've been teaching the kids at school, as Jesse said, because parents are clueless and they're thinking, oh, it's okay. It's simple. But they're teaching these little kids how to be activists. And you wake up one day and you turn around and that kid that was so loving and so adorable and a little angel is now a little socialist, a little activist. And it's hard to deconstruct and deprogram them after that indoctrination has been put into them from an early age. That is the reason why so many people are pushing back on critical race theory, on the 1619 Project. And it's just that, a theory. So why teach a theory? And when I see people say, oh, you're racist if you don't believe in it. Okay, then I'll be a racist. Joy Reid, who loves to call out people and say that they're racist if they don't believe what she's saying. She's the most disgusting woman out there. Why she's on TV, I don't know. She is a mean girl, disgusting. She knows nothing about anything. But you know what? This is what happens. I actually think that she feels inferior to everyone, so she wants to put down other people. She has no reason, no, should not be on TV with her warped ideas, but this is a free country. You look at the Olympics, look at the young lady in the Olympics, turning her back on the flag, saying that she was tricked, she was duped. Duped into what? And I thought, well, maybe this is something that I missed. Well, they weren't gonna play the national anthem while I was on stage because I don't identify with it. Okay, if you don't identify with it, why are you there competing? Please tell me, why are you competing? Because this great country afforded you the opportunity to compete. The country that you're saying is racist against you. How the hell did you make it that far if this country is racist against you? Oh, well, you don't know what I went through. When I was doing this, I was competing. They said this and say they said that. But yet and still, you are there. What is your problem? And on top of that, she didn't even rank in the top spot. She thinks she made third place. So she's now making it an ugly scene for the women who did make the top spot. Why don't you just don't go out there? Don't be seen. Stay in your little cubby. Stay at home and sit there and write about how all the world is against you. But this is what we're up against in this, in our country and our society. And it should not be that way. We have got to wake up. What do you say, David?
Well, I look at the current situation, you know, rather than a crisis, but as an opportunity. You know, here, you know, Jesse and I are in Los Angeles County. You know, California has about 55 electoral votes. And so, you know, people have written off California. It's just going to go to the Democrats. But when you look at, there's 58 counties in California, with LA County being the biggest and which should be the most vital. Yet in the last election cycle, I saw that of the 24, 25 state assembly districts in LA County alone, there was 13 state assembly districts with no Republican running in the race. Now, what a lost opportunity that was. And so I set out, I started a program called the Leave No Assembly District Behind. And so I reached out to get individuals to run for state assembly, not necessarily to win the race, but so that people would be able to see what a Republican running for assembly looks like. And their names were Martinez. Their names were, you know, for, they were from Peru. They were from El Salvador. They were from Mexico. They were, and all of a sudden you had a group of Republican candidates that were Hispanic from various countries that were running as Republicans. And so that gave hundreds of thousands of voters the opportunity to vote for a Republican who happened to be Hispanic. And all of a sudden, you know, that has really caught on. And so as we're going into this next election cycle, I've already started that process in finding individuals, Republicans of all different ethnicities, to run for state assembly, Senate, and Congress, so that every single voter in Los Angeles County will have somebody that will be sharing the subjects that we're talking about, you know, tonight, that will they'll be talking about how destructive critical race theory is going to be to their children, how the state assembly and Democrats with a supermajority are passing bills like SB 145 that eliminates the requirement for an adult who's 24 years old and has sex with a 14-year-old boy doesn't have to register as a sex offender, because the Democrat politicians, who many people are voting for just because of the D behind their name, they have no idea what these people are doing to dismantle and destroy their family. You know, all of a sudden we're going to go to birthing units rather than mothers. In many of the ethnic communities, the father has been eliminated and making the children dependent and the social system. And now they're going after the mothers. Why? Because, you know, the mothers are so strong and they the last line of defense for these children. So what we have seen because of COVID, a lot of these people have seen what their kids have been taught. Not only the indoctrination about socialism, but the eradication of their own individual sexuality. And, you know, quite frankly, eliminating God within our lives, because if we go to the very founding documents, our rights as Americans don't come from government. You know, they're inalienable rights that come from God. Well, socialism cannot and communism cannot succeed if they're not the ones that get the credit for giving the rights that they can take away whenever they want. So this is a great time for people to run for office. You have something to say, guess what? There'll be a platform for you. And, you know, as far as the Republican Party, what I say is, you know, we are the Republican Party. You know, the platform they have is very succinct, and which I agree with, and we're going to stick with it. But we're not waiting for someone else to run for office to represent us or to have a voice. We have our own voice, and we're very capable of getting that message out there.
To go back what you were saying, how we're just like how frustrated we are. If you think about it, okay, look, after this election cycle that we lost the House, you think that the Republicans would be throwing all hands on deck, doing everything they can. And what are they done? Like literally, what have they done since the election? Nothing. That was the only thing, what, CPAC? And even at CPAC, they didn't even have hardly no Latinos. There was no Latino panel, nothing. They what are you doing? That's what I'm saying. It just gets us just so frustrated. Is like, what are you guys doing? And we're doing is we're trying to focus on certain candidates, ones that we know that are patriots, that are not rhinos. And like that, and we're not, because Alex, well, I don't know what David, but Alex said, we're not going to just toe the line, even if Republicans say, oh, certain candidates, we're not going to go for them. We're only going to go if we know that they're patriots. We know that they're for the America First agenda and like that, because we're sick of rhinos. What's the good of putting a rhino in there? He ain't going to do nothing. He's just going to be doing nothing in there anyway. So we're sick of all that stuff now. So we're going to be, so any ones that you see us Lexi endorse or us pushing, then know that we did our homework and we know that they're not rhinos and they're America First agenda.
We need individuals who put America first, because there are too many rhinos that are out there hiding. Like they say, wolves in sheepskin. They claim to be for the party, but in actuality, they're not. So let me ask you both this, the border. What is your take on the border crisis? The left says that there isn't a crisis and that, you know, everything is fine. It took Kamala almost 90 plus days to get down to the border. And I think she only decided to do it because President Trump said he was coming. And I'm sure that their propaganda arm, the news media, liberal news media, CNN, MSNBC, Washington Post, New York Times told her, you need to get down there because we can't defend you anymore. As long as you get there, we can spin an article and say, oh, you did good. So she went there for her photo op and then she left. Meanwhile, she went to Guatemala and gave them a couple of millions of dollars to do whatever they're going to do, as opposed to addressing the real issue. What are your thoughts on that? David, go for it.
Well, you know, and exactly where did she go? You know, she did a couple of news conferences at the airport and then went in there and talked to some of the leadership of the Border Patrol. You know, did she actually go into the refugee camps? Did she sit there and listen to the stories of the women who have been raped, or the thousands and thousands of children that are there in cages? That she was easily to referring to that under President Trump, but now all of a sudden they're no longer cages. And so this was a photo op so she could at least, you know, in between cackling, she can say that she went to the border and it's under control. She should have gone a little bit further to where they have the real crisis, where there, you know, isn't a border wall. You know, but it wouldn't have been a very good photo op as well. She was saying everything is under control. You had thousands of people crossing and dying in the desert, or being robbed or raped or sold into sexual slavery. So she stayed out of McLaren, Texas, and, you know, just did a nice little cozy, safe photo op to the El Paso area. So I belong to a group called Churches in Action. We have three refugee camps on the Tijuana side, and there are thousands of women and children there that are just languishing in squalor. And, you know, we're doing what we can to help them with food. And most of the people that are involved in this are all Republican, because it is a humanitarian. It's not even a crisis. It's a catastrophe that has been brought on by the reversal of President Trump's policy. And so in the name of humanity, what this administration is doing and laughing about it and trying to pretend it doesn't exist is inhumane.
You're right. She went there cackling, thinking that everything was funny. And she doesn't seem to take anything seriously. And we see it happening with this administration. They're always given a pass. So when he told Kamala to go to the border, he probably didn't even know where the border was. And then when she finally went, she probably said, oh, I went. He probably didn't know where she went either. And don't think he's going to go to the border. He will never make it to the border. Trump should have a rally near the border to show them all up. But this is disgusting and it's embarrassing. What do you say, Jesse?
Yeah, totally. It was she only totally just went because Trump went, because she was just on a few days ago on a Spanish channel, I think Telemundo, and the lady was asking her, she got all mad off, like when the lady was asking her, when are you going to the border? She didn't answer. If she had it planned, then she would have said, oh yeah, we're going to come later this week, or we're going to go next week. She would have said, but she had no answer when the lady was kept asking her, oh, when are you going to go to Mercer? That showed that it wasn't even in her mind. The only reason she went is because Trump went. And the fake media, then they haven't even been covering it in so long. They're avoiding the border crisis that they caused, by the way. They're avoiding it like the plague. They don't even want to cover anything over there. And then to talk about that, it's exposed to like George Lopez and a lot of these other celebrities and all that, that all had a lot to say about Trump. Oh, Trump racist and all the wall and all that stuff. But yet now they see the kids in the cages and all with all that stuff, and they're totally silent, total hypocrites, that they don't care about Latinos. They're just righteous, fake hypocrites. they're just totally fake. And that's why, remember at the beginning, it was hilarious that they didn't buy it. He said, oh, remember? He said, no, that they couldn't have no footage of the kids in the cages. Remember, he said, no, there was no footage. Like, what's up with some transparency? He, imagine if Trump said that. No, you can't get no footage, no
look,
anything.
Had Trump said that,
yeah,
they would have been talking about it until he left. They would have wanted to impeach him on it. And remember, Trump didn't start this. It wasn't Trump who had the children. It was Obama, yeah. And the media is not talking about it. So that, I want to segue into my next topic.
I want to just say one other thing. Go ahead. Yeah, but so not only that, okay, everything that you're saying, but not only that, he didn't want to give no footage of it, right? But then footage is leaked. We get the footage and we see they're all the conditions. They're all in rights. It's okay. That right there, imagine if that was Trump. If Trump said, you guys can have no footage and all of that. And then the footage came out and showed what the cages and all that. Then too, it was right at the peak time of COVID and all that. They're all not even, no masks, not even social distances. And all a bunch of them coming in with COVID. Remember at the time, yes, America's all locked down and all that stuff. But they're letting all these illegals come in, not even tested and all kinds of stuff. But yeah.
So I'm going to segue now to my next topic, and that is about criminal justice and the crime that's taking place. Now, all at once, was watching the news. The Democrats are trying to say it is the Republicans who want to defund the police. Chris Wallace, the idiot that he is, I will say it again. Republicans, stop going on Sunday morning with Chris Wallace. You profit nothing. Nothing happens. Nothing good comes out of it because he's always spinning and twisting what you say. He is a rhino. He can't give the news without putting in his own opinion. The guy is a panderer. He's a propagandist of the Democrat Party. Stop going on his show. So he allowed them to come on the show and to accuse the right of defunding the police. So I hope those on the right are aware of this and they're prepared to fight back. Because if you don't do it, they will make it seem as if though you're the ones who want to defund the police, when we know that during the spring and summer of 2020, that's all they talked about was defunding the police. We want to defund the police. We want to reimagine the police. Oh, the police aren't doing this. And the same people who are saying to defund the police, they're going out getting private security guards. They can protect themselves. And when you defund the police, what communities suffer the most? Black and brown communities. So when I see people out in the streets, oh, defund the police. We don't need the police. Get rid of the pigs. I'm like, are you serious? And a majority of the police force in a lot of these cities are minorities, black and brown people. You might have a few bad apples. So you want to defund the people that you're going to call when you need help. So if Republicans don't wake up and push back on this and push back on it hard, the next thing you know, they will be responsible for defunding the police. They will be responsible for not having set up things to protect the police. But this is how they work. When I saw that and heard it, I'm like, wait a minute, we're for the police. But now, oh no, it's the Republicans. They want to defund the police because the police are bad. They're bad people. No, the problem that we have is not the police, it's the Democrats and their party, the Democrats and their crazy ideas, not the Republicans. We want the police. What do you say, David?
You know, right here in Los Angeles, we have the Los Angeles Unified School District with almost 700,000 students. About 70,000 are adults. And you had children that were trained by Black Lives Matter going to the school board meeting saying, observe, you know, seeing a police officer in uniform on canvas following the George Floyd and some of the other incidences traumatizes me. I am not able to learn if there's uniformed officers on the campus. What the school board did was they removed all LAUSD police officers from the campus. They cut their budget by a third of the 400 officers to cover 1,000 schools. They laid off 200. When there's a stabbing or a shooting or an assault on campus, the principal can't even call the remaining school police to come on campus. They have to go and contact the administration downtown because they're covering up the violence that is taking place. And so that is what is taking place just within the school district. Is taking place throughout Los Angeles. You combine the legislature, Assembly and Senate, that passed so-called reform bills that have let thousands and thousands of criminals out of state prison into the streets, and first doubling the homeless population, but causing the crime not only from habitual criminals, but from the mentally ill. And now you have Los Angeles County closing its only jail and ending plans to build the new jail, which would have been the state-of-the-art mental health facility. It is only going to get worse, and it is happening, especially within the communities of people of color that are suffering the most. And so, unfortunately, this is just one more issue, which is going to bring more Hispanics to reevaluate their loyalty to the Democratic Party, because it is, they're not only indoctrinating your children, they are placing them in harm's way.
Well said, David. And we are coming up on the end of time. Jesse, where can people find Lexit and support you?
Yes, on Instagram, we're Lexit Movement, and on Facebook, we're under The Real Lexit.
And David, what do you have planned for the future? I know that you're a former candidate for attorney or lieutenant governor of California, and you've also ran for several other offices. What do you have planned?
Well, following that run for lieutenant governor, I activated the Los Angeles Hispanic Republican Club, and it has just exploded. And it is so popular now that I have a talk show on AM 870, The Answer, every Saturday night. And under the same name. So we're actively looking for people to support to run for office. And so that's the Los Angeles Hispanic Republican Club.
Fantastic. And as we mentioned earlier, Joe Biden and his cognitive disabilities, he could really use some Healthy Cell. I've been taking it. It makes me feel great. You can get the Focus and Recall Healthy Cell, which boosts short-term focus and long-term brain power with Healthy Cell's Focus and Recall vitamins. You can save 20% with code OUTLOUD. Thank you all for tuning in tonight on After Dark with Robin Andrew. Check us out and all the other shows over at AmericaOutLoud.com, who just celebrated its 5th anniversary. You can also find America Out Loud on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcast, or Pandora. We will see you guys next time. And remember to stand for something or you will fall for nothing.